Well, it is a Tuesday morning. It is 11 o'clock, and joining us on the phone for our weekly market update are both Stamati Sastra and Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management. Gentlemen, Kalimera, Zito Elada, and glad to have you joining us again today. Beautiful day outside. Kalimera, Sas.
Kalimera, Kalimera. Zito Elada, Kronio Pola se olus. What a week.
It really has been a good week. It was a great week. And 200 years have gone by, but we've only just begun. How's that?
That's right.
That's it. Stamati, Kalimera as well.
Kalimera. Manny, let me ask you. It seems like every week there is always something new that is going on in the market and affects stock prices. This week was this guy that with a fund that he had called Archigos.
Yep.
Which he took from the Greek word leader. And his trading created the collapse of several banks and Viacom, CBS. What happened there?
So, yeah, this is an interesting dynamic. And this is why we always talk about the amount of leverage that's in the market. So, arguably, this could be the biggest loss that a prime broker has ever faced in history. And they still haven't uncovered how many people were affected, what the total loss was. But let me tell you a little bit of what happened. So what a prime broker does is a prime broker lends to fund companies. They lend to hedge funds. So Achielos, he essentially was buying Viacom CBS, which is a stock that we owned for quite some time. We sold it a few months ago just given the massive run-up. But what he was doing was he was only putting 10 to 15% down and then leveraging the rest of the money to buy the shares. The reason why hedge funds do that is they don't necessarily have to report things that they're leveraging to buy. So what you usually have to file is a 13F, which hedge funds then list all the stocks that they own. This is a good way of getting around it and not, being transparent with the community about what you own and allowing people to trail your position or attack your position. What happened was he was leveraged all the way up to his eyeballs on this massive run-up. And what Viacom CBS did, looking at their very, very attractive stock price, did a stock offering. When they offered the stock started to drop. And when it started to drop, that's when the landslide started and the margin calls began. Once margin calls start, it's very, very hard to get out of it. So that's why you had this escalator down approach in some of these stocks, because they had to get out of their leverage and sell everything as fast as they could. So that's essentially what happened. But the interesting thing is that now this is the second time in 3 months that we've had a massive disruption in hedge funds in the market. I mean, the first one was GameStop, and now it's Viacom CBS.
Yeah.
So this isn't a very healthy dynamic, but it could be, you know, it's a two-edged sword. One side is you might have removed a significant amount of leverage from the market. That could be beneficial. The other side is by removing that leverage, you might have removed a significant amount of juice in the market as well. So it's a question of remains of what is going to come here. The losses haven't been completely figured out. We don't know how many prime brokers were involved in this, because some prime brokers will then lend to other prime brokers, which will lend then to other hedge funds. So this will be a story that will be uncovered over the next week or two. But obviously some significant losses and a disruption to the market.
It's very interesting, you know, how just the average person, buys the stocks and the mutual funds, doesn't even know, and something that has nothing to do with the company, with the economy, with everything, it just creates a new dynamic.
That's right. Yep. It's a global system with lots of moving parts. You know, there's swaps all over the place, from index swaps to currency swaps to treasury swaps to the whole nine. So, and there's a significant amount of leverage in the system, and that's what occurs. I mean, you become, that's why there is no, you know, investment that's guaranteed. There is risk involved, and sometimes you don't even know how much risk is involved.
Yeah, you just see the price of the stock go up and then all of a sudden go down within a couple of days. And if we look at, again, you know, the whole, I don't think this discussion about the yields and the interest rate is not going to go to bed for the next month or two, right?
I don't see it going to bed anytime soon, even longer than that. I mean, we have this government and this administration talking about, you know, another $3 trillion. I don't think they realize how much $1 trillion is. So, yeah, that will, the more we...
$1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, you know.
Yeah. The more we keep pumping out, the more that we keep putting ourselves further into debt, the more that interest rates are going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as the, you know, the economy, everybody says that, you know, as long as we are in that below 2% on the interest rates and all that, we're fine.
Yeah, but, you know, they don't have, that's not the Fed decision. The bond market is now making that decision for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know where rates are really going to go. They might try to peg them at some point, but, you know, the bond market is really what's going to be, you know, determining how we move forward in the future. It's not, you know, the Fed is going to do their duty, but from what we know is they've already came out and said whatever it takes. And, you know, pulling on the Janet Yellen school of thought, you know, they're attacking one thing. And the idea, one thing I read yesterday and was interesting was, you know, what is the dynamic of the new potential Fed going to look like? Because under Greenspan, it was different. And then under Bernanke and under Yellen, they were very, very strategic on one aspect, and that was tackling the unemployment rate and getting it around 3%. So if they continue to focus on that, it's going to be a while before we get there. That just means that much more stimulus, that much more money being printed to be able to get us to that level. So at some point, it's going to be the bond market that moves us. It's not going to be the Fed, because what we know is the Fed's going to be accommodating to try to reach their mandate, which at this point isn't even price stability. It's 100% full employment is what they're focusing on.
And that that is the key with the unemployment and the real economy.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the economy is on better footing. We've talked about this. And we've had, you know, conversations of late of talking about how we are moving in this general direction. The economy is in better footing compared to 2020, but by no means is it on better footing compared to 2019. And that's the thing that people need to be cognizant of, because we're still 20% higher than we were in 2019, but our economy is nowhere near as strong as it was then.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the key. A lot of money also is going into the restaurant business and the venue business with this $1 trillion package. A lot of people are busy just figuring it out, what's available to them, and what can they do.
I also think people are trying to be strategic. I think people, you know that there are blood on the streets, and they're trying to be, you know, trying to take advantage of opportunities. And what are the businesses that have been most gutted? It's going to be your hospitality, your restaurants, your travel, your leisure. Those are the new businesses that people are trying to start up. And, you know, it could be under new management compared to previously. But, I mean, that is your opportunity right now, because there is a significant amount of capital that was used there in previous years that is completely dissipated now. And you have companies that are hurting that may not be able to bridge the gap. I mean, obviously the large ones will, but, you know, a lot of these smaller mom-and-pop restaurants, chain restaurants, you know, travel and leisure destinations, this is going to be kind of the new industry that people that are opportunistic will look to attack.
And the rest of the world looks okay, like Europe and Asia, they kind of believing on recovery, and they think, well, you know.
I think Europe's in trouble. And I think you're seeing that right now with what's going on in the euro. I mean, the dollar by no means should be at a four-month high. But it is because of the troubles that are taking place in Europe. Europe is having vaccination problems that are not occurring here. And that's what is kind of leading the way. So there is some questions about Europe's ability to pull out of this. Now, I'm sure the rest of the world will band together and be able to, you know, help them out at some point. Everyone's focused on taking care of themselves at the moment. But, you know, that's the issue. I think Europe actually isn't on very good footing. Their economies were hit harder. And their economic situation was drastically different compared to us in Asia. So I would put Europe in last place right now, and you're currently seeing that based on the currency market.
Yeah, that's The euro is one. What is it now? 1.17, I think. If I'm not, it was all the way up 1.20. 1.17 is the euro right now. A significant drop so far. Is travel and vacation plans going up? A lot of people are start thinking about that already. So that could
they're getting there, right? I mean, I think it's going to depend on, you know, what parts of the world open up. I mean, those who have received the vaccine and those who expect to receive the vaccine in the next 1 to 2 months, they are looking to get out come this late spring, summer, and travel. You know, so it really just depends. I mean, πρέπει να δούμε τι θα γίνει με την Ελλάδα. Τώρα έχουν πει, θα ανοίξουν, τι είπανε, 16 Μαΐου θα ανοίξουν στον κόσμο. So like, it depends. But I mean, look, they're still having significant lockdowns and restrictions. So it's really hard to plan an experience or travel when you don't know what that environment's going to look like once you land.
Yeah, I'm curious to get Stamati, because you're in tune with Greece almost on a daily basis. What are your feelings? Just... if you could look into the crystal ball this summer, Stamati, for travel to Greece, you know, will it be at 50% of what it was in 19, not 2020? Was way down.
That would be a success if it's at 50%. I think that they're going to do anything they can with the vaccine passport. The key here will be if someone travels, they don't have to be quarantined and all that. There is an effort to have direct flights now to the islands from the big, from British Airways and KLM and Air France. So instead of going to a hub and then go to Mykonos, Santorini, Rhodes, you know, all these Kos, all these islands, you go directly to the islands now. So that's another effort. Everybody is trying to eliminate a stop. So it is going to be challenging, and I don't think it's just Greece's response. It's what the other countries are going to do with their passport for vaccines and the vaccinations. And also it's what the policies on the other country. If they say that, okay, you go to Greece, but when you come back, you're going to be 7 days quarantine.
Sure,
people
yeah.
are thinking about it,
yeah,
you know?
It's not an easy
decision. You can go to Mexico right now, and when you come back, you gotta be, you know, 7 days quarantine. Do you deal with that?
Yeah. I must say, I'll say it for the record. I've said it so far. I got my first vaccine last Friday, so I'm glad to get that behind me and look forward to the second one and just moving on.
Any side effects?
Nothing for me. Absolutely nothing.
Wait for the second. Take the day off.
I'm taking it on a Saturday, and I'm going to be here for the Sunday big show. I'm going to tell you that.
It's going to be a slow show.
It's going to be a slow show. It'll be the Sunday slow show, not the Sunday big show. Manny, let's close out. What's hot, what's not? What's hot, what's not?
What's hot, what's not? Stimulus is hot. Infrastructure is hot. Putting $3 trillion more into the debt is hot. What's not hot is gold. Mm-hmm. It's a great entry point right now. We're trading at 1685 last time I saw. So those who don't have an exposure to the metal, it's a freaking really, really good opportunity to get in my opinion. For the long term, I mean, you might have some volatility over the short term as the dollar figures out which direction it wants to head in, but long term, I still think the dollar has 2/3 decline left in it. Mm-hmm. So that's a good opportunity. And then you know, vaccinations. We're moving along, and I'm almost like 3 million vaccinations a day. So we're hitting great strides, and it looks like we're starting to turn the page on people that are fearful to take the vaccine. It seems like that rhetoric is slowly dissipating from conversations. So that's great to hear. I think that you need to believe in the science and believe in the community. And look, I'll give you this is kind of a joke, but for those that, you know, are fearful to take the vaccine, Chris Rock had a really good bit out there and was talking about, look, if the very, very wealthy old white people are taking it, you know it's safe. So so I think it's great that we're moving along in that direction and that hopefully this bridges us back to that normal life that we left in 2019 and we can πάμε ταξίδια, πάμε Ελλάδα, πάμε σε εστατόρια and, you know, get back to that community and friendship and everything that we've lost over the last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. Manny, I miss seeing you face-to-face. Same with you, Stamati, and hopefully sooner than later, we'll have that big party that we all look forward to. How's that?
Great. I welcome that day. I welcome it.
I really do. Joining us each and every Tuesday at 11 o'clock with a market update is Manny Frangidakis of 12 Points Wealth Management, along with Stamati Sastra. Gentlemen, thank you. Have a terrific afternoon. It's going to be a beautiful day. Nastikala.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.